So this is our second foray into Hilchos Deos. And yesterday we did more of an introduction. And today I want to get into sort of the text itself. Every time you learn Rambam, okay, the piece of Rambam that most people miss, and we spoke about this, you may remember in Hilchos Tshuva, and this you really can only see if you have a Hebrew one. Is this in the English one? No, very interesting. This is something you lose, okay? When you look at the English, when you look at the top of the page, it's missing this. You see this? This, okay? This is called the Koteret. Can you see this? Okay, it's called the Koteret. And afterwards, if you want, you can take a look. It starts with, obviously, the bold. By the way, this is the original manuscript of the Rambam. It wasn't printed in this format, but this is how he wrote it. So when it's reprinted in Rambam, and you see this Koteret, this is how he wrote it. He put it on top, he put it in this order. Hilchos Deos is the title. And this is the Koteret. Okay, and the Koteret contains three things. Okay? It contains the name of the set of halachos, in this case, Hilchos Deos. Okay? And then it says, Yesh bichlalan achat asrei mitzvot. There are 11 mitzvot in Hilchos Deos. Now, if what we said yesterday is correct, that this is the halachic system for becoming, right, a better human being, for developing your character traits, learning how to control your desires, etc. So there are actually 11 different mitzvot within this context that we're going to see. Then, okay, chamesh mitzvot asei, there are 5 positive commandments, and there are 6 negative commandments, right? Lo telech rachil ba'mecha, if that comes up in this Hilchos Deos, you're not supposed to gossip. It's not something you do, it's something you don't do. On the other hand, v'ahavta le'recha kamocha, you should love your fellow human being, your neighbor as yourself. That's something you do. And of course, the question becomes, what is that and how do you do it? Right? V'zehu pirtan. This is the most important part of the Koteret. Okay, now, generally speaking, and there are 2 exceptions, but generally speaking, when the Rambam lists the mitzvot, that's the order they're going to appear in Hilchot X. Like, for example, if you're looking for a particular mitzvah in Hilchos Yom Tov, you want to look for the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin. Or you want to look for the mitzvah of Simcha B'Yom Tov. So how do you find that in all of Hilchos Sukkah, all of Hilchos Yom Tov? You look in the Koteret. You look in this title. It'll list the mitzvot. And if there's 15 mitzvot, and this is the 15th, you know it's towards the end. You can work your way back. And if it's the first, you know, it doesn't... So, just want to read what these mitzvot are, because it gives you a sense. There's a reason that the Rambam did this. This is, by the way, a life lesson about reading in general. When you read a book, right? So most people, they've discovered statistically, when they read a book, skip the introduction, okay? They skip the introduction. But the author wrote that introduction for a reason. He thinks that you need to read that because that will introduce you to the book. So if you buy into the author, then, you know, if you're reading a book about business development and they tell you it's the best book ever written on business development and the authors of that book wrote an introduction, then you'd be silly not to read the introduction. On the other hand, if you're reading some novel, you know, it's a junk novel and you're just reading it because you have a long bus ride, you haven't bought into the author. You want to see if it's a good story. You don't really care. You don't think that he's any more brilliant than anybody else. You might skip the introduction. So the Rambam thinks this is how you should start studying Hilchos Deos, by looking at what the mitzvot are. And it'll take a while to figure out why that is, but that's what we're going to do here. And if you ever decide to get into learning Rambam, which I think is an incredible thing to do, it's worth having this habit. So here are the mitzvot, okay? There are 11. Lehidamot bidrachav. This is the first one. And this is what we're going to get into, and this is the underlying theme of the laws of character development. Why do you have to become better? Why do you have to find balance in your character? Because you're trying to lihidamot, to become similar to the ways of Hashem. Okay, you can learn a lot about your relationships by studying your relationship with Hashem, and you can learn a lot by relationship with Hashem by studying your relationships, and we'll get into that. So that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. If Hashem is merciful, so there's a mitzvah to be merciful simply because Hashem is merciful, and we're supposed to v'alachta b'drachav, we're supposed to follow Hashem's ways, whatever, okay? The second one is l'hidabek b'yoda'av, to cling to those who know Hashem. Now, that's very difficult to define. What does it mean to know Hashem? So we've spoken before about knowledge, right? It does not mean someone who is an intellectual genius who wrote a great book about God, right? Just because somebody writes a great book about God, right, doesn't mean, you know, there's a famous story, I think it was Bertrand Russell, but some of you are better read on these topics than I am, so you'll correct me if I'm wrong. But I believe Bertrand Russell was a professor of philosophy at, you know, a significant Ivy League college. I don't want to quote the college and get it wrong. And he was caught having affairs with his students, right? And he was a married man, and it was a big scandal. And they called him into the dean and to the, you know, head of the university. And the reason it was such a scandal was because he taught the philosophy of ethics. That was his chair. So he's teaching ethics, and he's having an affair with his students as a married man. So his response to the dean of the university was, "You don't expect your math professors to be math equations. I teach ethics. That doesn't mean I am an ethic," right? That was his answer. And that may work for the university, and that may be a judgment on universities, and not all universities agree with that. That is definitely not what Judaism believes. To know God intellectually is not what we mean when we say Yod'av. I know we've spoken about this before. What is that?
Where?
Pardon?
Where?
Nope. What is that?
Insight.
Pardon?
Insight.
Nope. By the way, just to be clear, dat means many different things, and you will, I'm sure, get into this with the man. What's the difference between dat and tuna, and what type of knowledge, different types of knowledge.
Relationships?
Exactly. Exactly. Good. The first time, we've said this a few times, this will come up again all year. Because even though this seems like one more innocuous detail, this is such a critical idea within Judaism. Okay? Whenever you see the word dat, this is part of that. Alright? The first tree that we're not supposed to eat from, which of course becomes a question that we're going to get into when we next discuss kashrut, okay, is Eitz HaDaat. And that's an interesting question. Why don't we eat Eitz HaDaat? One way of understanding this is because the relationships that Eitz HaDaat will give us, we're not ready for. The first time that we find dat mentioned in the Torah as it relates to human beings, as opposed to an object, is Vayedaha Adam et Chava Ishto, and Adam knew Eve in the biblical sense, which means he had relations with her, because that pasuk says Vayedaha Adam et Chava Ishto Vatar Vatelet et Kain. Adam knew Eve, and she became pregnant, and she had Kain, and then she had Hevel, right? So dat is all about relationships. This changes the way you look at dat, and I'll just give you two quick examples. The first mitzvah in the Rambam, okay, mitzvah gdolah admod leida shiyesh amaloa. There's a mitzvah to know that Hashem exists. So that's not just about, that's not a mitzvah to absolutely know completely that Hashem exists. Because if that was a mitzvah to know with absolute certainty that Hashem exists, then that would be a mitzvah you might not be able to fulfill. How could you be given a mitzvah you can't fulfill? What if you don't know Hashem exists? The mitzvah there may well be the attempt, the journey to attempt to develop a relationship with Hashem. You know, when you sit here and you study this, you pick up a book, you know, whatever, Rabbi Aaron's book, Endless Light, you're sitting in his classes on God, you're actually fulfilling a mitzvah, according to some commentators, of attempting to develop a relationship with Hashem. Right? And the value of that mitzvah is not in its success. The journey is far more valuable than the destination. Right? And the best example that I can think of is in the Shemoneh Esrei. Right? And we mentioned this once, but just, you know, for Chazara. By the way, just as an aside, because somebody asked me this once, one of the things that I saw when I was taking university courses is they're very careful. They've got a piece of information, they give it to you once. If they've given to you once, they don't want to repeat it because they can give you something else. Judaism says that information becomes part of you because it's very much repeated. So the fact that you'll hear certain ideas that I'll repeat again and again over the year is because those will be the ideas that you take with you. Like if you get into a conversation with some Wright alumni sitting in, you know, I don't know, Penn University. So the ideas that he comes up with that readily spring forth when issues come up are the ones that get repeated thematically. So when they roll off your tongue, then we'll know we got there. But just to give you another example, do you ever wonder why? I mean, if you could think of the top things that you would want in your life in the next 10, 15 years, if you could pick the top things, what would one of them be? Something really important to find, to achieve, to whatever, in the next 10, 15 years.
Create a family,
right? That would be up there, to find the right person, right? You're already starting to think that way, and that's healthy, right? So how come there's no bracha to ask Hashem to help you find the right person? You know, if you've been in a relationship and it's just not going, and she's dumping you, and you're dumping her, and just your whole life seems to go on pause. It's a big tumult, right? So isn't there a place in Shemoneh Esrei where you can struggle with this? That is atachon in ladam dat, right? You give us that. You give us, on the one hand, the ability to have relationships. Help me to figure out how to make this relationship healthy. Help me to figure out whether this is the relationship I want. If you want to know a place in Shemoneh Esrei where you can focus on those issues in your life, that is that place. What if you're going out with a girl and something deep inside of you tells you, this girl's not healthy for you. I mean, sometimes it's extreme. Sometimes you might have a friend and he's going out with somebody and you just realize this girl is just, she's not ready for a relationship. She's got bigger issues to deal with and she's bringing him down, right? All of us have had that, seen that, or watched it in a movie, right? And it really bothers you because it's a close friend of yours and you're just watching this. That's a tachanin l'adam da'at. So now the Rambam here, right? Lehidabek biyodav. If you can find people who have a deep relationship with Hashem, it's worth clinging to such people. So we're going to get to this, but I want you to understand, right, what that means. Okay? I have a really close friend, and I met him in a rather bizarre fashion because he was going through a tailspin. He had grown up as a modern Orthodox Jew, whatever that means, and married kids the whole nine yards, and he was on the verge of a successful business experience, to put it mildly, and he was on his way to a business meeting. There was a fellow, and I'm only using this label because it just makes the example a little easier to understand, but it's a problematic label. I just want to be clear about that. But you would define the person that he was doing business with as Haredi. You know, bekesha, beard, hat, the whole nine yards, right? And they became business partners. I don't know what the nature of the relationship was, one an investor and one, I don't know. But they were partners in this venture that was huge. And they were heading upstate, okay? It was in the summer, and they had gotten a meeting with the CEO of Coca-Cola. That's a big meeting. And he was vacationing somewhere in the mountains north of New York, and they were on their way up, like past Monticello, to meet with him. And it was getting late in the day, and they were running late. And my friend was driving, and we'll call him George. Okay, well, actually, I have a friend named George, so we'll call him Dan. Oh, a friend named Dan. We'll call him Horatio, okay? Horatio was driving, And you know, he's getting a little nervous because, like, they're pushing the envelope. You don't want to show up 2 minutes late for the CEO of Coca-Cola if you're presenting this business. And the fellow sitting next to him, you know, this very firm guy, whatever that means, suddenly realizes that the sun is starting to set. He hasn't done mincha. So he says, look, we have to stop after that mincha. So my friend, who knows what mincha is, he's a modern Orthodox guy, he goes, what? He says, listen, we're late. I got to stop and I got to have mincha. He says, we can't stop Davin. We're late for a meeting with the CEO of Coca-Cola. Davin in your seat. You know, I'm sure you can do that. Just, you know, close your eyes. I won't say. I'll turn the radio. He goes, you don't understand. We're going to stop and I'm going to Davin. He goes, you're late for the CEO of Coca-Cola. Guy looks at me and says, there's only one real CEO. And that's the CEO I'm more concerned about. Please stop on the side of the road. So he says, okay. So they stop. And this guy starts to Davin. And he davens mincha like you're supposed to daven mincha, or at least it looks like you're supposed to daven mincha. And he has kavana, whatever, 5-10 minutes. And then they get back in the car and they keep driving. And this made a real impression on my friend, right? Because he felt that this person really had his priorities straight. So he started to become closer with this guy. And he was really in awe of a lot of his practices and the way he kept mitzvot, etc. And it was really having a positive impact on him. Until the day, and he found out about this in the papers, this fellow was indicted for embezzling like $70 million. It was a huge scandal in New York. And my friend's world just crashed. This is what Torah and mitzvot does. This is what, you know, and you read these stories every once in a while, unfortunately, in the paper. Right, so he was like devastated. He was dumping the whole thing, and he went into a tailspin because, on the one hand, like, what's the point of Torah and Mitzvahs if you could be that frum and be learning Tafyomi every day and embezzle $70 million? On the other hand, he's married, he has kids, and if he decides he doesn't want to be religious, that's going to throw his whole family to tumult. And that's how we met, right? And one of the things that we talked about the first time we talked about it, and this is an important thing to study. There's an amazing article by Rav Kook. It's called Mimrakei Emunah, Pollutions of, I guess, Faith. Okay. And it's in Arpalei Torah. I'm sure if you don't get to it with Rabbi Aaron, ask Rabbi Aaron to learn that piece with you. I don't know anybody who can teach that piece better than he does. It's well worthwhile. But the premise that Rav Kook suggests there is that all the stuff we have in our life, all the baggage, all the issues, comes from our relationship with Hashem. If your relationship with Hashem is clean, you'll be clean. And if you have stuff in your life, it comes from the stuff you have with God. That, by the way, is the way that a person can have a deep relationship with God, can believe that Allah runs the world, and yet walk into a pizzeria and blow himself up as a suicide bomber. Because his perspective, his relationship with God is warped, right? So when I say Yod'av here, right, part of the way that we sense that people are Yodei Hashem is because you meet people and you just sense that they're healthy, that they're clean, that there's something naki about them, okay? And this is beyond the labels that we ascribe to people as religious or not religious, etc. Okay, so that's the second mitzvah: is lihidabek biyodav. The third one is lehovet reyim, to actually love your fellow human being. Okay? Now, that's a very difficult mitzvah. You are obligated. You know? Like, let's say, I don't know, let's say Mikey here hates the color yellow. And for whatever reason, Hashem decides he's sitting next to a guy with a yellow shirt. And he keeps telling Mordechai, can you stop wearing yellow shirts? So, like, eventually you get to the point where you just hate the guy because he's annoying. But there's actually a mitzvah to love him. You know, everybody has people that they find easier to have a relationship with and less easy to have a relationship with, right? But there's actually a mitzvah to love your fellow human being. Every fellow human being. That's a very difficult mitzvah, right? And by the way, those who work on that mitzvah and accomplish that mitzvah become different people. That does not mean, by the way, that you have to embrace every suicide bomber coming out of Gaza. But that becomes difficult. Why not? So we'll get to that, okay? Lehovita gerim, to love the stranger. It's an interesting discussion whether this refers to anybody who fits in the category of a stranger or whether it specifically is a mitzvah, as Rav Haigon suggests. It's a specific mitzvah when it comes to literally somebody who's converting to Judaism, who is almost the ultimate definition of the stranger. But there are definitely those poskim who say that if some guy feels that he's a stranger, right? Now, we had a boy on Sunday who came to visit for a few hours. You know, we're almost at the end. You know, we were talking the other day about, do we put an actual date on when we finally stop allowing people to come visit and see if this yeshiva is right for them? You know, end of November already, somebody would come into this yeshiva is just not going to be able to pick up in the middle with, especially with their parents' classes. But like after Sukkot, you know, last year we saw that it worked for one boy, so we decided it's hard for us to say no. So a boy will come. And as weeks go by, it's statistically less likely that we're willing to accept a student, you know, unless they really want it and they're really willing to work on it. But that doesn't matter to you. If a boy comes and he's here for 2 hours, he is a ger. He's a stranger. He's not in the zone. He doesn't know everybody, whatever. So you actually could be that you fulfill a special mitzvah by making him feel comfortable. Right? Yeah?
Doesn't it say somewhere, I forget where, so like I'm not sure, but that the most important mitzvah is like comforting someone who feels out of place or something like that?
Well, that's an interesting question, the most important mitzvah.
I remember like hearing something like that.
I know that the Rambam, okay, I know that the Rambam actually asked this question in Marna Vukhim. He asked what the most difficult mitzvah is. Does anybody know what the most difficult mitzvah in the entire Torah is? According to the Rambam, in the Marna Vukhim, Beferish. What's the most difficult mitzvah? What? That would be a good guess. Nope. That would be an even better guess. That's what I would have thought. But nope, not Lashon Hara. At least not according to the Rambam. No. The most difficult mitzvah according to the Rambam, you ready for this? Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. You're not allowed to hate your fellow, your brother, in your heart. Now, one way of understanding the fact that it talks about your brother is because you can't hate people that you don't know. Like, that's just psychotic, right? And it's not real hate. It doesn't consume you. To hate someone, you really have to know them. So the closer you are to someone, so if you hate someone that you're close with, there's good reason for it. Not only are you not allowed to do something negative to them, you're not allowed to feel negatively towards them. That's a very difficult mitzvah and well worth exploring. But anyway, so, and that's the next mitzvah. Shalo lisna achim. You can't hate your fellow human being. You're not supposed to hate. Hatred's not good. Now, whether this refers to everybody or whether a person could be defined as someone who's not an ach, and whether there could be a value to hatred, sometimes hatred can have a value, which is very difficult, but you pay a price for it. But you have a mitzvah. If you think that there's someone, right, and you have to start this concentrically, if you think there's someone in your family that you really hate, you've got a serious issue. That's a serious, serious issue. It doesn't mean you have to go love them. There could be situations where someone, even someone that you are obligated to respect, like your dad, that it could be that your relationship with them is unhealthy for you, and luckily you're allowed to distance yourself from such a person. Right? If a girl has been abused by her father as a child, she's not obligated to go and visit him or whatever, right? But you're not allowed to hate him. Very, very difficult. Right? And that may be because the hatred is not about the other person. So hatred's about you.
You can't hate Hitler?
Pardon?
You can't hate Hitler?
Well, that's why I said before, it's an interesting question whether achim is a euphemism for the fact that, you know, everybody should be achim, or kol Yisrael achim, or the definition of nach is someone who shares the same values of you. I would go so far as to say that if hatred is problematic, not because of the other person, but because of what it does to you, right? Hatred destroys your soul. It poisons your life. Then yeah, hating Adolf Hitler doesn't produce anything, doesn't give you anything. You know, you can hate his actions, but I'm not sure that there's value to hating him as a person. What do you gain from that? All it can do is consume you with hatred. I've met people who are very right-wing or very left-wing, and they're so consumed by their politics that it borders on hatred. And it's ugly. It doesn't mean their politics are necessarily wrong. Everybody has a right to their politics. But if it leads you to hatred, that's an unhealthy thing. So there's a mitzvah not to hate your fellow. Lehochiach. Okay, this is already in Perek Vav. Lehochiach. That you have to be willing to reprove a person when they're doing something wrong. Very, very, very difficult mitzvah. I believe we spoke about this at some point, but we're going to get into this. Shalola halbin panim. Not to embarrass a person. By the way, are you getting why this is the second set of halachos in the Rambam? If I went through a week, one second. If I went through a week, and I blew Shabbos and Kashrus and Tefillah and all that stuff, okay, I could get to Yom Kippur, I could ask Hashem for forgiveness, no problem. It's not hard to do tshuva for that. But if you embarrass another human being, that's very hard to do tshuva for. You know, if you could go through a week and know that you never, by omission or commission, embarrassed anyone, that's a big accomplishment. That's a good thing, right? So that's a mitzvah, yeah?
So it says there are 5 asay and 6 los asay. So right. Why is the fifth one, the first 4 are clearly asays, and then the fifth one it goes to los asay?
Right, that's a very good point. The Rambam was a master organizer. You're going to see how these mitzvot develop as a theme in the Rambam. Right? In other words, once you've gotten through clinging to God, clinging to those who know Him, loving your fellow human being, loving even the stranger, then you're ready not to hate your fellow human being. If you don't know how to love your fellow human being, you're going to have a very hard time.
What's lochiach mean again?
Lochiach means to reprove. It literally means to tell a person off.
Yeah,
hochiach tochiach tamitecha. That's positive. Right, he doesn't say that he does them in order of negative and I say. In fact, you just demonstrate that he doesn't. Okay, and you'll see, by the way, in mitzvot. By the way, what's really interesting is that sometimes the Rambam switches the order of the Torah. With the Torah, these things don't necessarily appear in this order. They don't. And the Rambam is organizing this from a different perspective. Why that is a longer discussion beyond the purview of this, right? Shalo le'anot umlalim. There are a lot of different ways to understand this. One way to understand this is not to cause the miserable to suffer. Okay, it's interesting. It doesn't say here to help the miserable. Right? You're not always commanded to help someone. You walk through. Imagine if you had a mitzvah to help every miserable person you saw. You would never get to the Beis Medrash. Because you would walk from your dorm and walk through the Rova, and there's enough miserable people, Nebuch in the Rova, and you'd stop with every beggar, and you'd, right? You just have to be sure, at the very least, that you're not causing them suffering. Okay? If there's a beggar woman, and she's sitting out here, you know, and she fell asleep, okay? And you're really enjoying a conversation with your friend, okay? And you're in this loud conversation, fooling around, laughing. And you wake her up, and you cause her to start, and you cause her a moment of angst. You have violated a prohibition. That's a serious prohibition. It's in Hilchos Deos, not to cause the miserable to suffer. Right? You'll notice that the theme, again, of all of these things is sensitivity. If you could do that by accident, it means that you weren't sensitive enough to the fact that you were standing next to such a person, and that's worth developing as a character trait. Shalola aloch rachil, not to gossip, not to slander. Okay, whether that includes all the different lashon hara and everything else is an interesting question. Okay, but talking about your fellow human being for no reason, character assassination, all these types of things, right? That's a serious issue. Shalolin kum, and shalolin tor, not to take revenge, not to bear a grudge. We're going to get into what those are, but there's a difference between taking revenge and bearing a grudge. Rashi on the pasuk of Loti Kom Veloti Tor basically says that let's say I asked Josh, you know, I want to go for a run. Can I borrow your iPod to listen to? And he's like, no, right? I'm like, well, okay, fine. You know, doesn't feel so good, but all right. And he's not doing anything halachically wrong. He's not obligated to give me his iPod to go for a run. Okay. Next day, Josh, Mr. Sensitivity, right, lost his iPod. And I went out and bought an iPod. And he says to me, you know what? I'm going for a run today. Can I borrow your iPod? Right? So there are two prohibitions. One is that I say no. And that's an interesting question, whether I say no or I have to say no because you didn't lend it to me yesterday. That's lo tikum. You don't take revenge on your fellow human being. Got to let go. And the second, which is not to bear a grudge, is even if you say to him, yeah, I'll give you my iPod. I'm not a pig like you were yesterday because you're going to educate Josh. That's actually a biblical prohibition. That's an issue. And those are the 11 mitzvot. What this means is that these are the avot. These mitzvot are the main categories, the top 11, David Letterman's list of character development. Okay? 11 is not a number that's difficult to remember. This is a list worth remembering, right? This is a list worth sitting down, you know, when you get to like Kabbalat Shabbat and asking yourself, do I think I worked on these 11 things this week? Do I think I'm a little better in terms of my ability not to bear a grudge, not to hate my fellow human being? If you didn't learn a daf of Gemara, if you didn't learn any chumash, if you never davened, never did any of that stuff all year, but you became master of these 11 mitzvot, you would change the world. All the other mitzvot are part of helping us to develop these mitzvot. But that's an interesting discussion. Okay. So those are the 11 mitzvot. Ubeur kol mitzvot elu b'pakim lina. And now I'm going to explain these mitzvot. And just one more detail in terms of methodology of Rambam. The way that halacha works according to the Rambam is, I got to find in the Torah what the mitzvot are. I got to organize them. And now we're going to explain them, how they work. So if you look at the beginning of Hilchot Shabbat, you will find that there are a certain number of mitzvot in the laws of Shabbat. Now to memorize all of Hilchot Shabbat, that's an amazing thing to do. But to memorize the basic mitzvot that are in the koteret of Hilchot Shabbat, that's actually not a difficult thing to do. Right? And the Rambam organizes them. And if you think about it, there are 14 books. And in those books, some of them, there are four sets of halachot, five, six, seven. So you figure you're talking about something along the lines of, I don't know, I never counted, 70, 75 sets of halachot. That is the totality of halach in Judaism. And in that totality of halach in Judaism, you will find 613 mitzvot, there are actually more, that are in the kotarot. And you can organize them. You know? And if you did nothing else, but when you started to study the Rambam, just looked at what these mitzvot are, try to get a raw understanding of them, and you know, once a week you memorize, you know, the halachot of that week, of that set of halachot, and then you skip the halachot and you get to the next koteret, you would get a grasp of what all the mitzvot in the Torah are. That is one way to begin learning Rambam. Cool? All right? So, let's take a look. You guys have energy for another 5 minutes to start the first halacha? Yeah? Good? Okay. Okay. Deot ha'bei. Yesh l'kol echad v'echad mibnei adam. There are many character traits. I'm going to use that translation, and as we get into this, we'll find out if this is really true. There are many character traits that every human being has. The Rambam here is not talking to the Jewish people. The Rambam here is talking to humanity. The only difference is whether a person who isn't Jewish is obligated to fulfill all these mitzvot. That's an interesting debate, right? Because for a person who isn't Jewish, at least according to the Torah, his obligation stems from civil law and civil court. If you had to pick the major difference between civil law and Torah law, Jewish law, and you could make a case, I'm not an expert on Catholicism, I haven't spent a lot of time studying Catholicism, but you could even make a case saying that this is the difference between Judaism and Catholicism, at least in its ethical treatises. There's a lot of beauty in Catholicism. If you take about 2 or 3% of it and put it aside, there's a lot of beauty in Catholicism. And they have a lot of, you know, ethical treatises that are beautiful. You know, love your fellow human being. You could debate that it comes from the Torah. Most Christians will tell you it comes from the Torah. But okay. What's the fundamental difference? The fundamental difference is that Judaism's ethics demanded. Civil law's ethics espoused. If you are driving on the highway and you go speeding, so you've broken the law because you've done something you're not supposed to do. You're not allowed to speed. But if you're standing, there was a case, which I think came up in one of our parashas shiurim, terrible, terrible case of a woman who actually lost in court. She sued the transit authority. I don't remember if it was the New York City subway system or Chicago, one major city in New York, because she came into a subway system and two men brutally raped her for a good half an hour, and the conductor pulled into the train, saw her being attacked, raped, whatever, pressed the emergency button, you know, which calls the 911, let off his passengers, and then kept going. And the fellow in the glass booth did the same thing. He saw her being raped. He was afraid to get out of the booth. He pushed the button. You know, there's a call button, 911, whatever, there's a woman being raped. And that was it. They didn't do anything. So she sued them. Right? The contention was there's a lot more that he could have done. Like, you could understand a person who neither of these men were armed. But okay, it's scary. It's a subway. But he could have used his speaker. He could have said the police are coming. He could have done something. The conductor could have yelled out. They could have, right? They didn't do anything. So she sued them, and she lost because they fulfilled their legal obligation to push the button. That was it. They're not obligated to help her. Judaism says, no, she'd be liable. You're not allowed to stand by while someone's being attacked. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to go about your business, right? You have an obligation. If somebody is being chased by a murderer, you are actually halakhically obligated to try to stop that person. That's an interesting question if your life is in danger, right? So this is ethics demanded, right? Every human being has many different character traits. Right? And the character traits are very often far abreast from each other. Now, what the Rambam is going to do now is he's going to list the major character traits. This is what I started to mention yesterday. These are the avot, the fathers of the character traits. All right? The first one is anger. Now, you could debate this. I'm a big believer in the Shita of Reb Chaim. Okay? Reb Chaim Brisker, tell me, because I'd rather less is more. Like, if you guys are ready to stop, if you have... Maybe we'll call this. I'm sensing the energy. All right, tomorrow we'll get into Halacha Aleph and Halacha Bet. I'm picking up that we got it. Take 5 minutes. Morning sit will start in a few minutes. Boker Tov, everybody. Smile. Start the day with a smile. Boker Tov. All right.